Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Did you survive our email outage this morning?
Oh, my God. All of NBCU email went out today. So starting at what time?
I mean, I was trying to check my email on my work phone on my way in, so around like 9:30. And it kept being like, re-enter your password, re-enter your password. I was like, what's going on? This is my password. And then it was down until like 2 o'clock.
Crazy. I mean, because I thought it was just a Rockefeller Center, New York issue. It was happening all across the country at NBC offices.
Yeah.
I didn't hate not getting a lot of work emails.
I didn't hate it either because I felt like I was left to figure out how to be productive without email access. So I still was getting things done and I wasn't being like distracted or bogged down by my inbox. I mean, it was like the olden days, you know, you had to like actually walk over to someone's desk and be like, hey, can I have that? Or what are you working on right now?
Make phone calls the absolute worst.
Yes. I don't like using the phone.
Yeah.
Everyone can hear us here.
And they have cameras. So when you call,
right,
they see what you look like.
Yeah.
Which I don't like.
I don't like it either because not everyone has their camera on. And then I know they can see me and I can't see them. It's unfair.
Thankfully, we were still able to watch all of our Bravo shows.
That's true.
So don't worry. The episode will go on.
We've got you covered. We're talking Vanderpump Rules today.
Season premiere.
It's back. We're talking RHOC Reunion Part 2.
Yes.
A lot to go through there. Below Deck.
We met two new people. We have to talk about that.
Mm-hmm. And then we have a little bit to talk about Word on the Street. I have prepared something for Word on the Street today.
Oh, yay.
And then we have some interviews, right?
Yes, we're going to be talking to Dolores Catania from Real Housewives of New Jersey and the one and only Jax Taylor.
Jax. I missed him.
I didn't get Jaxed. But I tried.
Okay, so let's do Vanderpump first.
Okay, so I wanted to talk about the proposal.
Mm-hmm.
I was waiting all episode for it. I mean, really, I've been waiting many seasons for it. The moment we didn't think would come, which is Jax gave in, he proposed to Brittany. My thoughts, not what I was expecting.
I agree.
I wanted to know why Jax picked this restaurant near the beach, not really on the beach in Malibu, and presented the engagement ring on a tray?
Mm-hmm.
What are our thoughts on that?
So I used to live in LA, and
yes,
I did love going to Malibu, and I've never been particularly to Neptune's Net, but there was another restaurant called Real Inn, which was the same style. It's like you go up to the counter, you order. And I feel like it's a great little spot. Like, you're coming back from the beach, you're still hungry. Like, why not stop in? But if you're trying to set up this engagement and this, like, surprise, like, I think you need to step it up just a little bit more.
And Jax is a huge Friends fan. Mm-hmm. I bring this up because that show, Monica and Chandler, I think this was on that level in terms of our expectations. This is a couple we've been waiting to get engaged. Don't get me wrong, he did beautiful work with the ring.
Yes.
But I don't know that an engagement and fried food go hand in hand.
Do you think there's anything somewhat romantic in his defense about doing it somewhere where it's super unexpected?
Like the surprise element?
Yeah. Like she never would have expected him coming back and like thinking he's going to be bringing back a crab cake and it's actually an engagement ring. Do you know what I mean?
Okay. So on Sex and the City, when Aiden did it with Carrie on the dog walk, yes, I liked that. That was okay. Totally unexpected.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That said, I had a bad proposal. And we're still married.
You did?
Oh, it was the worst.
I don't think I know this story.
Okay. Aaron, don't listen. But we talk. But I do talk about it all the time, how it was the biggest letdown of my life.
No.
I mean, for any female, we look forward to this day. We think about it a lot. So we were going out of town just to San Antonio. We were going to spend a weekend away. Great. He took me to a restaurant that had no significance to our relationship whatsoever. And it's not like he put a lot of research into finding best romantic restaurant to propose to my girlfriend. He's asked someone, hey, I'm going to San Antonio. Can you recommend a good restaurant? The restaurant was nice. But then I went to the restroom and I came back and he had printed out an email that I wrote to him. It was a very sweet email I had written to him because we had a long distance relationship. We were in college. Mm-hmm. And it was saying about how much I loved him and da 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 da. And he goes, do you still mean all these things? And I said, of course. And that would be sweet, except then I have to like pantomime it and you can describe okay. what I'm doing. All right, so this is me. I'm Erin.
Okay, so she's awkwardly standing. She's going down on her knees. She's back up.
Like it was for a nanosecond.
He didn't commit to the knee.
No. And what was worst is it was so quiet. So people near us were like, what did he just propose?
It was
so bad.
Do you think he was just nervous?
He 1000% was. And now he is the most romantic person. Like when my cat died that I'd had all my life. He's a video producer. So he made me this video that was dedicated to like all of our photos and like video snippets he had of her on his phone. Uh-huh. Like he does the most romantic things, but it was just, oh, the worst proposal.
Well, he has every day of the rest of your lives together to make up for it with the cat videos and with other romantic gestures. So Erin, good job. You were young. Yeah. If you could do it all over again, maybe you would, but you guys are happily married today, so that's all that matters.
Right. So I think I would just say maybe for you, if you're going to propose, mm-hmm. like it should have significance to the relationship.
I think I agree with that. I think that's fair to say. So what I want to know too, and what I wanted to ask you about, like a proposal kind of overall, Stassi knew about it before like going in, and you could see in the whole episode she was so nervous that she was gonna like spill. Have you ever known about somebody else getting engaged going into it?
I don't think so. I don't think anyone would trust me with that secret.
That was my second question, was do you think you could hold that secret if you were around that person?
I don't know. I mean, yes, I would not ruin it for that person, but I totally related to Stassi trying not to tell Kristen and Katie when they were like, is he going to propose? Which I wanted to ask you, were they drunk during that conversation?
I can't breathe. I can't do this anymore. Okay. You guys are so f-ing intuitive. It's like so insane.
He texts me. This
I can't
is
do
how it.
Started. I can't Wait, do
man,
it.
What are you talking about? No, she's saying something.
He texted me.
He texted me last night. He said, I need to ask you something. He goes, well, A, I do not know it. I don't know what preface means.
I just said that you were very intuitive.
And then he goes, I need to ask you something without being biased. And then he texts me.
Oh my God, Jax is proposing right now.
I think a little bit because I'm pretty sure they were drinking in that scene.
I think so. But there was like some slurring and then Kristen wasn't getting that Stassi was like, yes, he's going to propose.
Right. She was like, no, let me explain. And Stassi was like, no, I know. And she's like, no, let me tell you.
And they didn't notice that. I think that she was being weird. So I think alcohol helped.
I think there was a little bit of booze there. Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, going off of that, I mean, I am so happy we finally got to see it because like we've talked about before, we've known for a really long time they're getting engaged. It's been, you know, out there in the public for a while. So it was good to sort of see it unfold. Definitely not what we were expecting, but I'm excited to see how it plays out the rest of the season. Next episode, I guess we're going to get the party.
Which is sweet. That was a very sweet thing for him to put together.
That's definitely, yeah, he won that part because yes. I feel like that is the best part of getting engaged or right after, like being able to share it with everyone and announce it with everyone, have everyone there to like celebrate with you. I like that.
And speaking of weddings, I want to talk to you guys about Zola.com, the wedding company that will do anything for love. They are reinventing the wedding planning and registry experience to make the happiest moment in couples' lives even happier. I wish I had something like this when I got married. Basically, Zola is the easiest way to plan your wedding and register. You can join 500,000 other couples who've used Zola. It takes the stress out of wedding planning by letting you create a free wedding website, your dream wedding registry, And they even offer affordable save the dates and invitations, easy to use planning tools to make your big day the dream wedding you always wanted. So the Zola store has the widest selection of gifts at all different price points. There's something for every guest to give. There's over 500 top brands from OXO and Cuisinart to Sonos and Airbnb. Or if you want to go a less traditional route, you can create a fund for your honeymoon, a future house, new puppy, whatever. Plus, you can register for gift cards to your favorite brands like Delta, Southwest, Hulu, Home Depot, and more. To start your free wedding website and also get $50 off your registry on Zola, go to zola.com/dish. That's Zola, Zola.com/dish.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about, too, with this episode was this whole thing with, like, Jax and James. Like, mm-hmm. they have been going back and forth for a really long time, and it seems like they had made up at first, and now it's over again because of that move he made with the rap.
Right.
Against Britney.
Right. Well, how did it go? It was...
White Kanye. What was it? It was something about faith.
When he f***ed faith.
Yes. Yeah. And, like, you know, granted, it's that... You know, he uses that, like, it's the British sense of humor. He's just being cheeky. He's using his creative flow. But it's sort of like, at somebody's expense, like Britney, after all she's been through with Jax, like, I was on Jax's side with that one.
Yeah, I was thinking about that a lot, actually, because we all watch the events unfold on the show. Mm-hmm. So it's not really this private thing. I imagine there's a lot of Vanderpump fans that show up to these Turn Up Tuesdays.
Right.
But at the same time, that's really embarrassing for Britney, who did nothing wrong.
Right.
So she shouldn't be punished.
It's true. And the other thing, too, that I found a little bit strange about Jax and James was Jax sent James underwear.
2 weeks ago, literally, Jax just bought me some brand new limited edition Supreme underwear. Like, that's such a nice gesture. Thank you.
Is that like a bro code thing, like a straight bro code thing that I'm just not aware of? Is that like the white flag equivalent in a straight man relationship?
I mean, I feel like Aaron hasn't received any underwear from friends, but...
I haven't either. And I would love a pair of Supreme underwear. That's great. I mean...
Do you think they were too small for Jax? And he's like, I know a tiny guy.
My guess is like he was sent them for free and like was like, I'm not going to wear these. Like, I can't fit. Like, who would fit in these, James? And just sent it as like a, why not?
Why not?
And why not? And the other thing about Jax and Britney a little bit that is kind of funny... At the beginning of the episode, Britney references, like, all these things that Jax is doing to, like, prove that he's gotten better. And it's, like, walking the dogs, grocery shopping. Like, these are all things that, like, you should be doing in a relationship. Right.
Just even as a roommate should be doing.
Absolutely. So, you know, I love Britney, and she's so sweet, and I think she just will always see the best in him and in a lot of people, so... If she's happy, I'm happy.
Right. We'll see.
We'll see.
I want to move on to Real Housewives of Orange County.
Okay,
Reunion Part 2.
This episode was a lot about Tamra, I feel like, and Shannon.
Mm.
And there was a lot of like tension and things brought up in this part of the reunion that I was kind of surprised by, because you know you never know where people stand kind of when filming is over and then things come up or are released on social media. So it's really kind of crazy how this has played out, because I can't even really keep track of who is friends right now.
I mean, I will tell you that backstage, Shannon was only talking to Vicky mm-hmm. in terms of having a relationship. Now that filming was done, she was icing out Kelly. She was icing out Tamra. This is according to them. It is weird because they are so close. And then how do they go from 100 back to zero?
I think when things unfold outside of the show and they all learn about it, it changes how they can move forward, because it's like, one minute they see what's happening on air and they're friends and they're okay. And the next minute it unfolds into something completely different.
The story about what happened in New York, though, for Tamra's birthday, that fascinated
me.
We stayed where you wanted to stay, which cost more money than what you guys put us up in.
Who stays at the Plaza?
So expensive.
So we're all going to go out to dinner. I didn't bring Melissa there to do my makeup. I go, oh, my God, we have 1 hour. We have to be at the restaurant. And then she's like, do my makeup, Melissa. And Melissa's like, I got it, you're ready. And she's like, no, just do my eyes.
This is where I don't want to go tit for tat with you. So many things that you're saying are not completely accurate.
We had to be in the restaurant an hour. 45 minutes later, I'm in the bathroom doing my makeup. She's still out there. Melissa hasn't even started getting ready yet. Melissa's looking at me like, she won't, like, I can't stop. Oh, Melissa, do this. Oh, Melissa, do that. Oh, Melissa, do that. And we told her, no, we told you no. Go to your room, go get ready. We're each gonna get ourselves ready.
Once
I paid Melissa to get there, my makeup artist is doing your makeup.
I apologize right after.
First of all, to be with a friend that says, no, I don't like the hotel you picked, let's stay at the Plaza. I mean, no, like Vicky said, no one stays at the Plaza.
Right.
Or Kelly said that.
I mean, it's like, that's notorious for just being one of those places that's like out of your league.
Right.
Out of everybody's league.
And not even really a fun place to stay.
Yeah. Not for like a weekend in New York.
Not with a girls' weekend.
No.
But yeah, then using the makeup artist who really wasn't working that weekend.
The way Tamara explained that situation, I could perfectly visualize Shannon being in there and being like, no, can you fix this? Wait, what about this? You know, and it's just like, I think Shannon sometimes just gets so consumed in what she's doing that she does forget that other people have needs or other people, you know, have feelings sometimes. And I think Tamara tried to explain that to her a few times and she got pretty fired up about it in this episode. And, you know, I understand where Tamara's coming from because I think when Shannon does make it all about her, people feel like she's not being a good friend to them.
But I saw that someone posted in our Bravo Daily Dish Facebook group. Mm-hmm. They said, what kind of friend is Tamara to bring up that story in a public forum?
That's fair.
I mean, that's kind of harsh, too.
That's pretty fair. Yeah, I mean,
and the secret boyfriend.
Right. Who's not around anymore?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Because he wasn't a good boyfriend.
Right.
But yeah, you can't hide that stuff from the viewers. We're supposed to know everything during filming.
The other thing that I wanted to talk about a little bit was getting into Emily. And I think she had mentioned this in her interview with you, that I, by the end of this season, forgot that Tamara was the one to bring her in because the two of them are just not, they don't seem like they're friends at all anymore.
Yes, we did talk about it. And if you guys didn't listen to that episode, you should go back because throughout the season, they're fine. But now they're not. So I was trying to get from her, like, what happened exactly?
Yeah.
Because it must have been something that we weren't seeing on the show.
And I think she kind of said that she couldn't quite put her finger on what it was that happened
right
between them. But I think it was maybe just as things unfolded and as Emily came more into the group and made connections with other people, especially with Gina, I think she maybe saw that she had more in common with other people other than Tamara.
Right.
So the other thing I wanted to talk about with Emily, too, is I felt so bad for her when she was talking about all the body shaming that was happening to her on social media when she first joined the show. It's like, you know, one of those things where when you put yourself out there like that, no matter who you are, what you look like, what you do, there's going to be trolls. There's going to be critics. There's going to be people who say and do horrible things. By the end of it, she kind of turned around and was like, I use that as an opportunity to better communicate how body positive I feel. And she was like, I'm going to wear a bathing suit on the show. I'm not going to let that bring me down. So I really did like that. But I felt so bad for her because just having her talk about everything that she went through this season, you know, that she's been through the last few years with her mom and the miscarriages she's been through. And then to be brave enough to put your story out there like that and then have to deal with all of these horrible haters on social media, like, poor Emily.
For someone to go out of their way to drop a DM to say, this is what I think about your body, is insane.
That's next level insane, because to comment on someone's Instagram post is one thing, but to slide into their DMs with the intent of them, like, reading it and getting that direct message, it's like, ooh, girl, you better block those people. And report. Block and report.
So next week is the conclusion of the reunion, and it seems like there's more between Tamara and Shannon.
There's like a low blow right there at the end of the preview clip when Tamara's like, maybe it's all of those years with David that's made you into a master manipulator.
You're like the master manipulator, and maybe it's years of being with David that taught you to do that.
You just f***ing hit a nerve in me right now.
Like, ow. I mean, I feel like that's up on the level with, like, the accusations Vicky was making at Kelly in the first part of the reunion.
It's not good.
It's not good.
All right, can't wait.
Okay, so let's talk Below Deck.
Yes, because we meet two new people.
First impressions.
Laura, I think Adrian said it best when he was like, she seems like a Valley girl, isn't she? From Canada?
She's cute. Seems nice. Sounds like a Valley girl, though. Are you really from Canada?
Yeah, what is a Canadian Valley girl? Is there a part of Canada that's like the equivalent of like the Valley in LA that we just don't know about culturally?
It could be. but I also feel like I understand Kate's instant criticism of her in that she talks a lot.
Yeah.
I don't like someone that has to fill every moment of silence. I just sometimes need a moment, you know?
Well, I think she definitely came in as the new girl feeling like she had something to prove. And I'm sure it's difficult in any position to come in when there's already an established team of people. They have their systems in place. Everyone has their role. And you're kind of coming in as like the new person. So I think she wanted to be like, look, this is my expertise. Like, what's that towel doing there? Like, oh, look at this stain on the coffee table, you know? So she kind of came in feeling like she had to show them that she had the experience. But it's like, you already got the job. Like, you don't have to have an opinion on everything that goes on when you first arrive.
Right. What about the guy, Tyler?
We didn't get a lot of Tyler, but he definitely was giving me like Ashton 2.0, I guess, physically at first.
Right.
But there were a lot of older pictures of him that they were showing, and like he was giving me much more of that California surfer dude. I think he looked a little bit better with the long hair.
Mm.
I don't know. So we didn't get too much of him. I mean, I think he'll be maybe a little bit of like a competitor for Ashton in terms of like being a, what do they call him? The Octa?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what is that weird nickname for him? I don't like it.
Octa Snake, eh?
Oh, like what is he doing now? Look at Octa Snake. Snaking.
Oh, he's in there.
Ashton is full on. He knows what he wants. He goes to get it. He's just like on it. And I respect that.
My man.
It looks like Laura went with Octosnake.
I don't like it.
It's like Sextopus or something weird.
No.
Oh, no. I don't like it. But yeah, I don't know. He's kind of dreamy. So he could be a little bit of competition for Ashton, I think, when it comes to the ladies.
Also, this whole episode of Below Deck was such a tease because last week we were like, next time on Below Deck, you know, the Ashton accident.
Right.
Then they waited till the very end of the episode and you don't get the whole thing.
I was on the edge of my seat the whole episode waiting for it to happen. It was just kind of like, we're drinking, we're taking a break, we're cool. And I was like, when is this going to happen? And it's just right at the end there. And I had my hands over my mouth. Like, it's so intense.
Yes.
And it's really scary. And you can just feel the energy shift as soon as he falls off the boat. Like, everything sort of changes. The camera drops. It's like, this is scary. I mean, this is truly a life or death situation.
So we will be talking about that full Ashton moment next week. And I have an interview with Kate and Josiah because they kind of talk about being there in that moment and how the cameraman had to sort of break the fourth wall.
One thing I wanted to ask you actually about Kate and Josiah is in this episode, she calls Josiah the Thelma to her Louise. So of the two of us, who do you think is Thelma and who's Louise?
Which one was Gina Davis?
Gina Davis was Thelma.
Okay, then I'm Thelma.
You're Thelma.
Because I was obsessed with everything Gina Davis did.
Oh my God, yes. Okay. So I'm the one who has to like shoot the guy and save your ass and then...
That sounds about right.
Okay, fair. The other thing I wanted to mention on this episode though was... The end of last episode, Ross and Riley were like really butting heads. I mean, we had talked about kind of her attitude and the way she talks to like her boss, which were like, that's not really acceptable. And then in this episode, you know, they had like the day of like a break. And I don't really remember seeing them flirting or anything throughout the episode. And then all of a sudden they're back on the boat and they're like in the room kissing. Like, where did that come from?
Okay, I talked about this with Kate and Josiah.
Oh, good.
Because I was like, what is happening on this boat?
What did they say?
You have to listen to the interview.
Okay, fair. So why don't we do a little bit of word on the street?
Yes.
Okay, so what I wanted to talk about was Lisa Rinna just today tweeted, own it has become overused.
What?
So two things there. Number one, is it overused? Do you feel like people are kind of taking that and using it way too often? And number two, was that directed at Shannon? Because she kept saying that last night on the reunion.
Okay. Interesting. I mean, as soon as you said that, what went through my mind is maybe she's talking about something that's happening in her life.
Right now?
Yeah, maybe some drama with some other ladies. I don't know.
That's a good point. It's true. I mean, you'd never really know because I feel like everyone likes to do a little subtweet sometimes, like not really saying who you're talking about, but you put it out there. But I just thought with the timing of it and how Shannon really like was talking, like she kept being like, own it last night on the reunion. And then just conveniently timed next morning, Rinna's tweeting it. I don't know. So I also think it could be a hint at maybe we're going to get a little bit of old Rinna back.
Well, speaking of Lisa Rinna, what do you think of her new platinum blonde hair?
So it definitely gives me like, can I speak to your manager vibes? You know what I mean? Like Kate Gosselin, like,
I love it.
But the thing is I love the traditional classic Rinna bob. Yeah. I mean, it's worked for her for so long.
It's sort of the same style cut. It's more just like a little, I feel less flippy out. And it's got that platinum blonde. It gave me Kris Jenner vibes.
Interesting. Okay. It gave me a little bit of like Hunger Games, like the Capital people vibes.
That's,
you know?
That's a compliment.
Like Effie, is that her name in the series? Yeah. I mean, it's a bold choice. I feel like she deserves to own it if she wants to. But I am a big fan of the classic Rinna.
Now I know if I ever come into work and you say, oh, that's a bold choice, I know to turn right back around and go home and change.
Well, I just hope you come in tomorrow with a blonde pixie cut, because that would really shake things up around here.
Can I tell you my hairdresser said I would look great with a pixie?
Oh, I think you did mention that.
And it was the best compliment I ever got, because you have to have an okay face to pull off a pixie.
Yes, that's true.
And anytime someone says I have an okay face...
Would you?
Like, hey, Megan, you're not totally hideous. Like, I'm good.
Would you ever do it?
No.
No.
I couldn't.
Would Aaron?
No, he would leave me. A lot's happening in the world, and I'm not just talking about on Bravo. If you want to keep up with the latest headlines in news, media, and tech, you need to listen to Recode Decode. Kara Swisher hosts Recode Decode. It's a podcast that's home to candid interviews with tech and media's key players about their big ideas and how they're changing the world. Previous episodes include newsmaking conversations with business leaders like Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg, influential politicians like Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, and outspoken media personalities like Anthony Scaramucci, Christiane Amanpour, and the boys from Crooked Media's Pod Save America. Recode Decode with Kara Swisher offers in-depth conversations that are as entertaining as they are enlightening, and Kara's planning more big shows right now. New episodes are published every week on Mondays and Wednesdays, with frequent bonus episodes on Saturdays. Listen and subscribe to Recode Decode with Kara Swisher for free on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. So Jax Taylor came into the office, and Eric, knowing how much you wanted to know why he bought James underwear, that was my first question.
My favorite part. Here we come.
Yes! Jax Taylor, my favorite podcast guest. Yay! How are you?
I am great.
We're just going to go right into it.
Okay.
One question everyone has been asking me to ask you.
Yeah, live. We're good.
We're good. Right, we're up. Yeah.
All right. Hey, what's up? Let's do it.
Why buy James underwear?
I know it was a weird thing to buy. Somebody, to be honest, here's the answer. This is the time where I was kind of like, listen, I'm just trying to like be kosher with the guy. I don't have the energy or the care in the world to like sit here and try to be your friend. I'm never going to be your friend. It's just not going to happen. But I was trying to be just like, listen, let's just be civil, you know, for the sake of being civil. And I get gifted a lot of stuff. And somebody gave me the Supreme, which is a brand.
Yeah.
I'm not really a big brand guy. I don't care. But at that age, I was a big brand guy. So I understand how much he loves the brand Supreme. So I was like, you know, I got this. It'd be a nice gesture. I'm leaving town. I'll stop by. I know he's at Sura. I got this package of boxer shorts, Supreme boxer shorts, which are very hard to come by. So I just thought it would be a nice gesture.
It is nice. My theory was that someone gifted you the wrong size. Like maybe they gave you an extra small.
Well,
and
I don't
were
wear.
Like, how,
oh, you know? I like that. Yeah, I like that. But no, they're the one of them. Either boxers. I don't wear boxers.
Mm.
And plus, I was just trying to make a nice gesture. Like I'm not a big, you know, label guy. I don't need to wear labels all over. I don't need to have Supreme and Nike and all. I just don't need to have that.
Yeah.
But at that age, you did. I did. I remember. So I was like, oh, he'll enjoy it. He'll like it.
Not to be crass, but since you brought it up, if you don't wear boxers, do you wear anything?
Yeah, I just wear the, what do you call them, whitey tight? Not whitey tighties, but they're like, they're called Calvin Klein steel underwear.
Right. Okay.
Like, so I need to be held in.
Got it.
I've never in my life have ever been able to wear boxers. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
I don't like the whole freeness.
Mm.
I don't like being free.
Got it. But yeah, no, really what I want to talk about is the proposal.
Yeah.
How did you work with production to make this happen? At what point did you start telling people maybe?
Oh my God, I got in so much trouble for this. So when we obviously got the green light to film, I called right away. I go, listen, I'm proposing and I want to do it like out the gate because I can't let this A, sit in my pocket. I have a big mouth and it's going to get out and she's going to find out. And B, I wanted her to have the whole summer to be engaged. I want her to be like celebrate because I wanted to get married next summer. So I was like, well, if I do it too late, then we're going to have to push it back. So I'm like, I want to get it done out the gate. So that was the plan. And they're like, okay, perfect. I went with my good friend Kyle Chan, was the ring designer. I told him some ideas. Brittany kind of made it very easy for me. If she's not playing Candy Crush, then she was on Etsy kind of like this with her phone showing me ideas, you know, not discreetly. So I kind of had an idea what she wanted. And I had a budget set in mind and I had a style. So I was like, listen, Kyle, this is how much I have. This is the style I want. Make it happen. So he did. And I think he knocked it out of the park. And I guess the location was more of it's a place that we went on our first date. And it was a place that it's probably the only place in California that my dad liked because my dad hated California. And he loved that place though. It was called Neptune's Net. It was like a little fish shack. And it's very Brittany and I. We're not a big type. We're not those kind of people. She's a country girl.
Yeah.
I'm from the Midwest. We're not elaborate. It's just not our thing.
I didn't know that was where your first date was.
Yeah.
It makes a lot more sense.
Well,
like,
I mean,
the significance.
We met in Vegas. We technically went out there, but that was our first date. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, because I feel like the proposal should have significance to the relationship.
Yeah, we just really love it. It was just beautiful. I mean, the sun was setting. It was good. There was like dolphins in there. I don't know if they showed that or anything. It worked out perfectly. I felt like my dad was there watching me. You know, yeah. He was kind of guiding me.
That's so sweet. And since the wedding is happening next summer, are you really involved in the planning?
You know, I was, it's been going really easy, knock on wood. I mean, she's got a lot of help. She has a couple wedding planners. A lot of people have been reaching out to her. I mean, she's in her glory right now. This is something she's been planning for, obviously, her whole life.
Right.
I mean, she's known where she's wanted to get married since she's a little girl. And I'm easy. Brittany and I like the same things. We have the same style. We like the same everything. So whatever she picks, I'm on board with, you know. I'm involved a little bit. She'll be like, well, I chose this. And she'll show me. And I'm like, okay. You know, so it works. So far, so we haven't had any snags.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I was obsessed with your Kentucky spinoff. And I know that Brittany's dad had his reservations about you. Did you ask?
A lot of people had their reservations about me.
Right?
I would too.
But did you ask him before you proposed?
So during the Kentucky, that's funny you mentioned that. So during the Kentucky thing, I brought it up to him. Because that's when I was starting to think about it. And I go, listen, this is my intentions. You know, this is what I plan on doing. And he gave his okay. He had his concerns. He expressed them and said, listen, you know, I know, you know, your lifestyle and everything. I just hope you're ready to settle down. And I was. And I am. Absolutely.
You mentioned in episode 2 that there's maybe a hiccup in the relationship with your mom since your dad passed away.
I haven't really spoken to my mother since my dad's funeral. So it's been really tough. It's nothing she did, really. Well, I don't know. I don't want to get into it really, but
that's
it's just
fine.
It's. I'm gonna leave it right. I hope in time, you know, God willing, that we can smooth things over. I just don't know. I don't know. You know, I'm. It's not me anymore. I don't care about me. It's my sister, and I worry about my sister. And she stresses all the time, and she works so hard, and she takes care of her husband, and her husband's amazing, and her husband beat cancer twice, and then my sister had to go through my dad's cancer, and she's a nurse, and she sees that shit every day. It's just kind of like, she's just always stressed, and I just worry about her. And Brittany and I are always constantly trying to check up on her and make sure, because she was a daddy's girl. So she was very close to my father. Not that I wasn't, but she had a daddy-daughter
different relationship.
So it's very tough for her. It's very tough. And I just think some of the things that happened after my father passed, we just didn't agree with. And it's taken a toll on our family. It really has.
Have you grown closer to Brittany's family through everything that's happened?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been close. People don't know that, but I've been close with Brittany's family since I met them. They've welcomed me with open arms since the beginning. I mean, even when I was going through everything with, you know, the situation that Brittany and I were going through, they were still great with me, you know. And, yeah, I guess we've gotten closer since, you know, everything's gone down. I love them, you know, and they're great, and I love going to Kentucky. I can't speak enough about them. They're great people.
You said on Watch What Happens Live last night that you guys want to have kids right away.
Yeah, right away.
But you've said on this podcast you can't see yourself raising kids in Los Angeles.
Right. That's the little bit of a hiccup pickle we're going through. Well, not hiccup, it's a pickle. I think what we're going to do, the plan as of today, which is probably going to change, I think we'll probably – I don't want to live in L.A. I just don't. I won't raise a kid in L.A., but maybe we'll go to the Valley for a little bit. I think we're going to end up getting a home in Palm Springs, and I think we'll just kind of just go back and forth. But I don't see I can't live in Hollywood and have a kid. I just can't do it.
Well, I hate to be selfish, Jax, but we need you on the show.
Oh, no. So. I would love to still be part of the show, but me now with kids, maybe? Yeah, because I'm at that point in my life where I really want to have kids. I'm a lot older than Brittany, 39. You know, she's ready. She was ready to have kids when she's ready to be a mom. And I'll be ready when the time comes, but she's ready now.
Yeah.
And she's itching. So I told her, yeah, right away. You know, I want to be around as long as I can. And what I've, you know, learned from anything with my dad is life is very short. So I'm ready to start popping them out right away.
We see later this season some allegations against James and him cheating on Raquel. Is that something you have any knowledge of?
A lot more than allegations. Yeah, I mean, everything you think that could happen, and I'm not just saying this because, oh my God, harp on James. I'm not in the place in my life where I'm going to sit here and be like, you, and deflect and tell. But the things that he's done, and I'm not saying I'm a saint, so it sounds kind of hypocritical for me to do. Yes, I've fucked up, and I've done a lot of bad things. But the things he's done is like, there's like screwing up and be like, Jax, what did you do? But the things he's done is like, dude, you're in some serious trouble. Some serious trouble. And I don't know. I think there's something wrong upstairs with him. I think there's something, some kind of, I don't know what it is, but the things that he does and has done is just kind of just not acceptable. And I didn't want to surround myself with that. And it has nothing to do with like the cattiness that we all go through. That's fine. Whatever. I hate you. You don't like me. Whatever. But the things that he does is wrong.
The last time we as viewers saw you guys was at the reunion, and it seemed like there was some drama between you and Sheena. Has that
as far as
reconciled
itself?
Well, you just were kind of upset at how she was very into herself and kind of being selfish.
It's tough because we've all been there. Gosh, I can sit here and be like, well, this person's done this. I've done it all too. I think the difference is like people call me out on it and I'm like, Jax, you've done this and this. I'm like, oh man, I did. I look stupid. People are saying something. Okay, maybe I should change. And like, I didn't really realize that. And then I change. I think with people on our show, people tell them things and they don't change. They just keep doing it. So it's like, I mean, you're asking for it, you know? Or if you don't wake up in life and realize, hey, you're doing all this and you're hurting people and you kind of don't look back and be like, well, why are you doing this? And then you're like, man, I got to wake up. That's what happened to me. As far as Sheena goes, I think Sheena's just in a place right now where she's just – and I love Sheena. This is nothing against her at all. She's a great friend, and she's very sweet. I think she's just a hopeless romantic, maybe codependent, just wants to be in a relationship. She jumps from relationship to relationship to relationship to relationship, and it's just kind of like – dude, chill, take a moment, you know, and I feel bad because these guys I feel like are not in it for the right reasons, and she just wants to settle down, like, she'll just take whatever, you know, and it's just like, it's sad to see, because you want to see her be happy, but she just keeps finding the wrong guys. I mean, you're not going to find the right one from the cast of The Bachelor. You're not. I mean, I don't know how many she's going to have to run through to figure it out, but... You know, I she's a grown ass woman. I mean, you can only tell her so much, you know.
Last question. What
I can do this all day.
Oh, okay.
I know. Like, I'm sorry.
Tell us what we can expect from this season.
Hopefully less digging at me. I think hopefully I get to take a back seat a little bit. But it's actually going to be an interesting season. There's a lot going on with everybody. It's a season of growth, that's for sure. You can definitely see the evolvement of our cast. And I think you can see a little bit last year and a lot this year. You can actually see the evolvement. I think that's what's going to make the season the best so far, is because you can actually see us growing up. And yes, a little later in life, but you can see us making steps to, you know, for our futures, for our careers, not just you're in a bar fighting anymore. It's about, okay, we're starting businesses, we're starting companies, you know, people are getting engaged, talking about families, starting, you know, TomTom. It's a different type of Vanderpump Rules, which I like, and I think the viewers are going to like it because, you know, how much cattiness can you take? I mean, I'm even annoyed of it. I'm just like, Jesus, this is worse than high school. So this is actually nice that people are starting to grow up a little bit. And like I said, it took a little longer for some of us, but, you know, we live in Hollywood where you're just in a bubble. We have that Peter Pan syndrome sometimes. It takes a little slap in the head to figure it out. So I'm happy where it is this season. I think it's going to be a great season for everybody. And maybe some, not good for some people, but for the most part, I think it's going to be great. For me, it's awesome. For Brittany, it's amazing. So I'm happy about that.
Thank you so much for coming in.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So I talked to Dolores Catania from Real Housewives of New Jersey, and this was a really good interview, I thought, to save for now. We recorded it at the beginning of the season, but she said a lot of stuff about her ex-husband, Frank, and the disbarment and all of that. So I think it's a little relevant to show you guys now. Hello, Dolores Catania.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. So happy to have you back.
I'm home.
Yes. Not this just in the our podcast home. Studio, but back on Real Housewives of New Jersey.
I'm glad to be back. Everybody's very anxious.
I know.
I'm patiently waiting.
Yes.
It's starting to get impatient.
When did you guys last film together?
What month was
it? Yeah.
You expect me to remember?
I don't know. It's been a long time.
I want to say June, July, like June.
Okay.
We end in the end of June. Yeah. It always like kind of like you add, but we're still doing confessionals and things like that.
Right. So you must be anxious too to see everything.
Well, I saw the first episode and for the first time it was a lot of me, and you get to know a lot more about me this season because it's me kind of alone. Of course, there's the relationship with Teresa and, you know, all the girls, but there was a lot of things before me in the past season. So now it's like what I'm going through in my life, my relationship with Frank and my kids and everything.
Right.
So
I loved the fun fact we got that Frank used to do bodybuilding competitions.
Oh, yeah. He was Mr. New Jersey.
So were you with him when he was going through that process?
The second time I was. It was a little – I just missed it when I had met him, you know, and when he was younger. He was a big shot, you know. Frank was, like, the most eligible guy. we were the power couple.
Right. Have you ever considered doing – that?
You know, I pushed it off on Teresa, but I get asked to do it all that. Frank has been asking me for many years. A lot of people have always asked me to do it, like in the gym scene. And I don't have the discipline. I don't want it bad enough. You got to want it so bad. So yeah. Frankie did it with Teresa, you know.
Mm-hmm. Little Frankie. I saw photos.
They were in the same show together.
That's insane. So will we get to see that on the show?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, good.
And Frank trains. It's like a whole thing.
Oh, I can't wait.
So, yeah.
You know, so Frank, and in this premiere episode, when you were saying that we get to know a little bit more about your relationship, you kind of admit to him that you've lost a little bit of trust in him because of the way you found out that he got disbarred.
Right.
And I was at the reunion last season when Andy asked you if he was still practicing. At what point did you put things together?
The next day. Because Siggy had texted me and she screenshotted me a text from some bloggers saying, we're not going to print this because of your relationship with Dolores and we love Dolores. And, you know, people were trying to tell me, and I have never been naive in 47 years of my life. I can promise you, I'm not the girl that says, oh, not my husband, not my kids, not my best friend. This person wouldn't do that. No. So I'm, like, so mortified that I didn't know. It wasn't that I didn't know about the situation. It was such a small thing.
Right.
That he kept saying to me, it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. And then when it came up and it happened, it was right before the holidays, and he didn't have the guts to tell me. It was right before Thanksgiving. So he made me look like a liar, and I am not a liar, and I know what I signed up for. So if something comes up, I'm going to be honest about it. I'm never going to lie, because when you don't admit to something on this show or in any of these shows, then people keep coming at you until you do.
Right.
Like, I like when Nene says, yeah, I did it. I did this, and I did that. Now what? What are you going to do?
Right.
Or if I say something, I'll own it.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, that's right. I said that. What are you going to do about it? Yeah, that happened in my life. Now I have to move on from it. Anybody have any questions? Let's get it out of the way.
Right.
So, but to make me look like a liar, oh, but it, so I text Frank and I said, is this true? And he said, it is. And I said, how dare you? I look like a jerk in front of all these people. They asked me. I didn't know. Everyone knows besides me. He said, this is hard enough for me. Don't make this about you. It's very hard. So my heart broke when he said that. And I was still angry. But he, you know, what he went through was terrible. And to do it alone and not tell me. So I text the producers. And I said, I really didn't know. So please apologize to Andy. And let me, you know, I'll have Frank say, I didn't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure.
Your integrity is everything.
Right.
Especially on this show. If I didn't have what I had when Danielle came at me, if I was a known liar, people would say you're lying, right?
Mm-hmm.
I need to keep that what it is.
Yeah. We talk about in this office quite a bit how you kind of have the best insults for people.
I do.
It's like the little
things.
My
mom says that.
It's when you call people slob or wackadoo. It's so small, but it cuts like a knife. What are some of your other favorites?
Oh, geez, I don't know. They just come out of nowhere. It happens in the moment. I can't practice it. It's not scripted. It just comes out.
Yeah. Well, who do you think is the biggest wackadoo of this group of women?
Oh, Danielle.
Okay.
And I like her right now. Like, we're amicable right now. I wish her all the best with everything.
Yeah. She's a little wackadoo, according to you.
Listen, we all are.
Yeah.
We all are, just in different ways.
Right.
So, yeah.
What else fascinates me?
But I find her entertained. Like, aren't you entertained by Danielle?
I'm entertained by all of you.
Oh, this year. Jen's not far behind.
Okay, let's talk about new housewife Jennifer. I've seen a little bit of the Oklahoma trip. And
whoa, right?
Y'all whoa. Don't hit it off quite so well.
I take her for what she is. I know... There's like, I know I grew up, like I said, I grew up in a very Italian neighborhood. She's Turkish, but it's that old school, like sometimes they say things and they don't realize what they're saying because they haven't ventured out into the rest of the world to know what's not palatable or offensive to other people. So I take it from that. I take it from where it comes.
Yeah.
If she was trying to hurt me, I would be angry and I would be resentful. But when she says things and they, like somebody would be like, oh, she's a jerk. She's a jerk off, excuse my language, but she's a jerk off. I know she's not being a jerk off. She just doesn't realize that's offensive to that person.
Right. Well, at this point, how many of her 16 bathrooms have you peed in?
I've peed in only one. I always go to the same one because it's closest to the kitchen. I don't feel like walking 10 miles to the other ones. So when I check into that hotel, I know exactly which bathroom I'm going to use.
Right.
It goes right to the thing. Or we usually sneak to the pool house for a cigarette.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, and the pool house, mind you, there's two bathrooms in the pool house, one across the hall from the other one. So I'm like, Jen, I mean, I'm a realtor. Frank's a builder. I've sold new construction, old construction. I don't get it. This isn't like, you know.
It's not what you would do.
There's a word for it. It's not coming to mind right now. My testosterone's low. My memory's shot. But I'm like, Jen, you know, she goes, well, what if somebody has to pee and poop at the same time? They can't wait for the person. So that I'm like, oh, that's why. Oh, now I understand why you have two bathrooms across the hall from each other in the pool room.
Right. And how about other new wife, Jackie? How do you find her?
I like Jackie. Jackie's, you know, sometimes I find her to be a little bit of an elitist attitude towards everyone else. Mm. And I don't, you know, that doesn't go over well with the other women. I think that she doesn't get where, like, I'm looking at where Jen's coming from. I don't think she gets where everyone else is coming from when they do certain things. Like, when a sister-in-laws are arguing and there's a past that she doesn't know about, and all of a sudden she's going to jump in with, she comes from a whole different background. You don't know the background story on this. You didn't learn it in your law classes that you bring up 500,000 times.
Was it hard for you this season to be close to Melissa because you are such your family with Teresa and they were arguing so much this season?
No, I've always stayed out of that. That's been since day one, by the way. And I've been there since day one of that relationship. And I don't want to see family fight.
Yeah.
And in the one episode in Oklahoma, when Teresa's trying to explain to Melissa, can you just have him come over a little more? Mm-hmm. Have Joe come over a little more to see Dad? And she gets so offensive. I just, all in 20-something years, I have never said a word during that time. But I was just trying to explain to Melissa, don't get excited. She's only asking. I didn't think she was asking anything offensively. I didn't see it. So then, you know, Jackie jumps on the bandwagon who knows nothing about anything, and that's what happened.
Right.
Jackie's not a bad person, though.
Right.
She's just comes from a different world, and she has no insight on this one.
You're so nice about everyone. You have different opinions, but you think everyone's like a good person at the end of the day.
Because they are. I mean, at the end of the day, I know a lot of people, and I know no matter what's anybody on that couch with me that sits on that couch, and no matter what differences I have with them, at the end of the day, I find more heart and soul in them people than I find in a lot of other people in this world. So when somebody likes to knock them to me, I look at that person, I'm like, you couldn't last a day in their shoes. You haven't done as much for other people as these people have been. I get offended. They're like still mine, you know? If I want to fight with them and say what I want to say, I can, but don't you.
Yeah. It was so nice in Oklahoma for you to sort of see this other side of Margaret, this charitable, caring about children side.
Well, that's what gets to me.
Right.
Danielle cares about animals. Margaret cares about children. I've seen her very gracious to children. Jackie, you'll see, I work with women in the shelter. I have a brunch that I have for them. They come with their children. Jackie has this visceral, it from her gut, it hurts. How can I really dislike? Yeah. I can disagree. I can maybe not want to hang out with them at the end of the day and go out to dinner and dance all night. But I can't dislike them because I've seen the good in them.
Right. At any point this season, as you were sort of getting closer to Margaret, did any part of you feel guilty, the part that's close to Siggy?
No, because I am as good as I am with Siggy to the end, till the day she dies. I will never not be her friend, but nobody dictates who I hang around with, who I like, who I talk to, how I am with someone. No one, not my children, no one. So I say to somebody, I've been a good friend to you. If there was a problem, there is no problem with it. But if there was a problem, I'd say, I've been a good friend to you. If you don't like it, get over it. Or we're not friends.
Right. Well, thankfully, that's not the case, right?
Not at all.
Okay, good.
Not at all.
Something that fascinates me about you is it seems like you've lived so many lives already.
You know, people say that to me. And in my life, I've never realized how much I've done until now.
Well, it's because, like, in the premiere, you know, you're doing this house flipping with Frank, and then you reveal that you used to be a surgical assistant.
Yeah, with Jen Aiden's husband.
Yes, that's so crazy.
I call him Aladdin.
But then you've also been a corrections officer.
Yes.
And you own this gym.
Yeah.
What else? Are we missing anything?
I'm a realtor. You know
yes,
that, right?
Yes, yes,
okay.
Yes.
Did we mention that? I waitressed
okay.
my whole life. I've been working since I'm 12 years old. So a work, you know, I always did what I bartended for a short time.
Ooh, I bet you got lots of tips.
I did, and I was a horrible bartender because I don't drink. I actually made the owner do a favor for me and hire me. He lost money on me, I'm sure. It sucked. I ran out of gas one night. I thought I'd make enough tips to get gas, and I didn't. I had to walk home.
Oh, gosh.
And that wasn't that long ago.
Wow.
I've made it, lost it, and make it again. You know, the real estate market, when everybody lost money, so did we.
Right.
So we went through some hard times, but it was good that my kids saw that. because coming from like an amazing life, we had a Lamborghini, we had a penthouse on the beach, we had a driver in Miami, we had trips, money, cars, and then all of a sudden you lose everything. That's what defines you on how you're going to handle it.
Right. That's crazy. I mean, that's why I really enjoyed, I've been watching Bravo from the beginning, but on Real Housewives of Orange County, they showed that, you know, that the first season they were on top, but then very soon later the crash happened, and so many people.
It was bad.
Right.
It was bad. And I went to school during that time, and that was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, is trying to get an, I mean, I'm dyslexic. I have a learning disorder, you know, and it's very hard for me. Like, I have to read the same thing like 5 times. I've never addressed it. I didn't even know. You know, I graduated in high school in 1988 and didn't open up a book since. So now I walk into a class at 37 years old. It's all computers. I'm the oldest person by far in the class. Showing up with a Mercedes and diamond ring, you know, earrings that I sold anyway to buy gas. You know, it's just, it was a really hard time. But my kids saw the struggle and they have a work ethic, like, bar none.
Yeah. How has your life changed since being on this show?
For the better. Andy said to me one time, he said, you know, usually it's not the best experience for people, but it seemed to be work well for you. I have gained a lot of confidence back. I was at a relationship that I was in did not work out, and I had a lot of high hopes for that relationship. So I had to start my life over. So it was a big disappointment. I felt the rug was ripped out from under me, and I had to start over. And I had to start from scratch. I left that relationship with nothing. And, you know, I came into this first season broken. Jacqueline had to drag me out of my room to film the birthday party because I had on a tight dress. I was like a tiny thing, you know, the old breakup, 30-pound loss.
Right.
And Jacqueline was like, and I didn't want attention. I didn't like speaking in front of people. And I've gotten my confidence back. I've raised a platform where I do so much more charity work because I'm able to. That means a lot to me. And I love it. I can handle it.
What, relationship-wise, where are you now?
You mean with David?
Are you still together? The
doctor? Yeah, David moved around the corner from me, and Frank is building a house for him.
Whoa! What an unconventional story.
Totally. David lived an hour away, and we didn't see each other a lot, and he was, like, not that, you know, attentive to me in any sense, and I'm not a needy girl, but look at what I've been through in my life.
Right.
The bare minimum I asked from him, and I wasn't getting him, but yet I was crazy about him. So I would drive to his house 40 minutes to only watch and to see him on a computer till 1 o'clock in the morning. He sells that house that I was selling on the episode. It finally sells, and he moved around the corner from me in a townhouse. And he bought a piece of land, and Frank is building his house. Because as you know why, Frank is back into the building.
Yeah.
And how about the first episode? Frank gets on the stand and concedes his license. Him and I never knew that footage existed until we watched the episode.
Oh, really? Oh, was that crazy for him?
It took my breath away. Because remember, I know about it now. I didn't know about it then, but I didn't even know he was in a courtroom. Like, is that what happened? You have to get up and give it up? I had to ask him. I'm like, is that what happened to you?
Yeah.
I would have been there. And he was like, where did they find that? It was, imagine never seeing his hand was shaking. I was like, I fast forwarded. I couldn't watch it. I was so hurt for him.
I could never imagine that you guys, that was the first time you saw that. That's insane.
That was the first time. And how about this? The closing that he got in trouble for, that was a closing he did for his best friend for free. The friend asked for the money out of the account. It was only $10,000, 15 maybe. 4 years, in 20 years, Frank never had one ethical complaint. They had him, he was audited. That's all they could find. And they took his license for that. His friend went on the stand and said, I asked him to take the money out right away. I needed it. They had proof. It went right into the friend's account. The mother went on the stand. The wife went on the stand. They wanted to know nothing. You commingled funds. You commingled. You didn't do the proper, you didn't follow the proper protocol. He lost the whole law. That was his law firm. That was Frank's law firm.
Unbelievable.
And, you know, a lot of people fall down over that. But he did not. He took it like a man, and I give him credit. He didn't come home crying. He didn't walk around depressed. He didn't get up and say, well, I lost my license being an attorney. I'm not doing anything now.
Wow.
He hustles every day.
Good for him.
It still sucks.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, we've done more pro bono work as an attorney. I've made him do so much. Frank is always like, I know when you call me and say, Frank, can you do me this favor? It's never for you. It's I have to go to court for someone, don't I?
Right.
And he would do it. So I was so hurt for him. How can I yell at him? But I'm mad.
Well, I'm glad you get to share this, though, with everyone so that, you know.
So people don't think he stole hundreds of thousands of dollars. Look it up. It's public. You can tell. You can find out exactly what it was. But so everyone knows, it was his best friend's closing, money from a closing, that he didn't even charge him for the closing fee. Nothing. It was free.
I'm getting the wrap-up signal. I have so much more to talk about, but thank you for being on the podcast, and I can't wait to watch the rest of the season.
Thank you.
Time for Rose and Thorn.
My favorite.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Where we share the best, or the cringiest, or the most oh-my-God moments.
OMG.
What was your rose this week?
So my rose came from part one of the Dallas reunion.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Stephanie discussing her depression so openly. You know, as tough as it was for her to talk about, it was really brave. And I think it's so important to have these conversations, especially in this kind of forum. You know, like, I think mental health is one of those things that still has such a stigma. And when you look at somebody like Stephanie, I don't think she's sort of the person you would assume has some kind of issue that she's dealing with. You know, she's beautiful, she's blonde, she's so happy all the time. You know, she's a mom and she's got a great husband. So I feel like it's so important for her to share her story, because it just goes to show it can happen to anyone.
I'm so glad you brought this up, because you need to go read her last blog on BravoTV.com, because the whole thing was about, I'm really not a regular Real Housewife. I'm not your stereotypical Real Housewife. And I think I put on airs the first couple seasons, but this last season, I really let myself show through. And here's why. It was really good.
It's amazing. I mean, I'm really happy that she did that. And it's, you know, difficult for her to talk about, but it's so important that she does. So I was really glad to hear that. And Andy was very, like, concerned. You know, everyone, Brandy was there to support. Even Leanne stepped in, because, you know, Leanne has something to say always. But I did like that she got a chance to share that. Okay, so what was your rose?
So as much as we talk about the procedures that are done, remember you said a couple episodes ago, like, it kind of icks you out. We finally got to see the aftermath of Marge Sr.'s facelift, and I was gobsmacked. It looks so good.
Gobsmacked. Woo. It does look good.
I mean, I honestly was like, she looks so young.
Yeah. Yeah, she does. I've seen some pictures on social media of her, like, obviously post facelift.
She looks airbrushed.
Yeah.
I want a facelift. Yeah.
Just a lower facelift, like, now. Camera or like the whole thing. I mean, she does look great. I mean, I love that she's just kind of embracing, like, I don't care how old I am. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to get a facelift. I'm going to get vaginal rejuvenation. Like, good for Marge Sr.
Yes.
Ugh.
What was your thorn?
So my thorn, and this was something we had discussed in the office last week. My thorn is Melissa Gorga and her sisters, when they had that discussion about this, like, medium and potential, you know, missing sister. They're referring to their mother as mommy.
Okay, wait. We have to talk about how we got into this conversation.
Okay.
Because you introduced me to a great game.
Yeah.
Called...
It's called Dream Partner But. And you have to give a scenario that, like, you meet the man or the woman of your dreams, but there's one slight caveat, and you have to either accept it or reject it.
Right. So Eric said, dream partner, but he calls his mom mommy. And I said, oh, no. No, 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 no.
Or his dad, daddy.
Deal breaker. The only time you can say daddy is if it's sexual.
Okay, fair. I think that's fair. Yeah, I mean, I will say, too, Joe did it in the garage with Teresa.
They all do on Jersey. They say mommy and daddy.
I don't really want to break mommy's heart. Unless mommy will feel like, it doesn't break my heart. I don't care. Like, I don't know.
If you talk to mommy about this and mommy is on board with trying to find her, then I would totally support it. Would you feel the same way?
Only if mommy supported it.
Will you guys say
mommy might say,
with me?
I'm afraid to not be with you when you tell her.
I don't. Is that a Jersey thing?
No, I asked Crystal, who is from Jersey. She sits near us, and she said no.
It's acceptable until you're like five.
But Crystal's not from an Italian family. So that's maybe true. It's an Italian jersey thing.
I don't know. I think we need to do some research.
But yeah, Melissa with her sisters. I mean, that could have been a drinking game. They said mommy 50 times. Will you talk to yes. mommy? And if mommy's comfortable, then we'll sit down with you and mommy and yeah. we'll talk about it.
And every time it was just like a slight stab. I was like, oh, mommy. Oh, God, it's so weird. It's just like it seems strange to hear adults say that word. And what's funny is even in my life, my mom refers to my father as daddy. She calls him that. But like, I don't say that and I would never call him that. But she would talk to him and she would use his name. She would say Jack. But it's when she's referring to him when she's talking to me.
Yeah. No, my mom does the same thing. She's like, well, let's call daddy. And I'm like, you mean my father? Like,
we can call dad. Oh, it's very strange. Okay, what about you? What is your thorn?
Okay, my thorn, hands down, is Below Deck when Adrian is there. They have that day off. They're at the resort and they're at dinner. And he's just casually making a dream catcher.
I'm obsessed that he's making a dream catcher right now.
I get it, Adrian. You're hippy dippy. You do the yoga. You meditate. That is so over the top. He probably just has some nightmares he wants to get rid of.
It does seem, I know what you're saying about it seeming very, like, expected of him. You know, like, of course he would be doing that.
It's just like a caricature of someone.
Dream catcher, dream catcher, dream catcher, oh, oh. Dream catcher, dream catcher.
Yeah, and if you just heard that little ditty, that's nothing other than Locke, Ladies of Rock, performing Dreamcatcher.
An instant classic.
From Real Housewives of Orange County.
And then, of course, he even was like, I just can't have casual sex.
I can't just meet a girl and have sex, you know?
You can't? You can't?
I can't.
Why?
Just having, like, meaningless sex and, like, never see the person again and just be like, see you later, you know?
Yeah.
I don't really I need affection more than anything. Like, more sensual, sharing energy more than actual sex.
Oh my God!
I was like, why?
To which I said, wrong boat. Like, you gotta get off then.
Yeah, I mean, good for him. And like, you know, to each his own, whatever. But like, meaningless sex, sometimes it's worth it.
Totally. But we want to know what everyone else's rose and thorn of the week was. So tweet us at Bravo TV using the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Meg Segura.
And you can find me, Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K. Bye.
And I got my girls with me, with the boys.